Thornton with a green light hit, hammers Subban.
Get ready.
To Bergeron, green shot, scores!
This is the Boston Bruins postgame show.
Milan Lucic with the game on his stick, walks in and scores! Lucic is the hero!
Streaming live on CLNSradio.com.
Get up!
And welcome into the CLNS Radio Bruins postgame show. I'm your host, Kevin Maggiore, taking you up here for the next hour or so. We'll be talking Bruins finally getting the win over the Pittsburgh Penguins in overtime on a goal by Patrice Bergeron. Was quite up in arms, you could say, because he kind of hit it with a high stick, but it was considered a goal, and the Bruins got the 2 points that they needed in the standings. For all the bad things that's been going on this year, they are currently a playoff team, which tells you one thing. The Eastern Conference must really suck. But it was a good win for the Bruins tonight. They jumped the Toronto Maple Leafs into fourth place in the Atlantic Division. By no means are they out of anything right now. I don't see them as a legitimate cup contender, but it's good to, you know, be where you are. Number calling the show is 347-215-7771. Press 1 to speak to the host. It's myself again. The number to call on the show is 347-215-7771. Press 1 to speak to the host. That is myself. I'm breaking this one down for the Bruins today. They finally get a win. Like I said, 3-2 is the victory. And Patrice Bergeron gets the game winner in overtime. Was a controversial kind of play, but the Bruins get the goal. The Bruins get the win, and they move on to face the New Jersey Devils tomorrow night. Something I want to point out quickly before I really get deep into it, the Bruins have played 6 games since the Christmas break ended. And they play a team against Columbus, who, I'll give you, Columbus was hot. They have been pretty hot recently. They've been getting healthy, and they're a very good team when healthy. Bruins lose 6-2 to Columbus. Then they go out, and they play the Detroit Red Wings, and they beat the Red Wings, kind of blow them out of the water, which was pretty good there. Then they go out and they lose to Toronto in a shootout. Then they lose to Ottawa in overtime. And then they lose to Carolina in a shootout. And then they beat Pittsburgh. So they're 2-4 in the 6 games since the Christmas break. And they've lost to 4 teams outside of the play. Excuse me, Toronto was in at the time. But Toronto recently just fired their coach and is now on the outside of the playoff picture. So they lose all, the 4 games they lose are to teams outside of the playoff picture looking in, and they beat 2 teams inside of the playoff picture. Like, it's something that the Bruins, they need to be picking up the points against. They should really be picking up the points against Carolina. They got 1 against Carolina and 1 against Ottawa. They should have taken at least 3 or 4 against those teams. And, you know, it's tough to look back at it now, but they need to start turning this around. They beat Pittsburgh. Tomorrow night they get to play the New Jersey Devils, who are 7th in the Metropolitan Division, lower in the conference, and then they get to play Philadelphia on Saturday, which Philadelphia is always a tough team to play, always a tough place to play. They will be in Philadelphia at the Wells Fargo Center, but those teams are in the lower part of the division. I believe Philly is in 6th place in the Metropolitan. You need to make up points in those teams. 3 out of 4 is necessary. 3 out of 4 is possible. 4 out of 4 is possible against these 2 teams, but you need to go out and get points. You need to start picking up the points on the crappy teams, because you look going forward, they have Tampa Bay, they have the New York Rangers, they have, I believe they have Columbus after that again. Columbus is, like I said, Columbus, they blew you out of the water. Columbus is a good team, they blew you out of the water the last time you played them. So, you know, tough road going forward after these next couple games, so you need to pick up the points where you have the ability to pick up the points. But now, again, the number to call on the show, 347-215-7771. Again, the number to call on the show is 347-215-7771. We are breaking down a Bruins 3-2 victory over the Pittsburgh Penguins in overtime. I'll start it off here with my 3 stars of the game. My number 3 star, Patrice Bergeron. Bergeron obviously gets the game winner in overtime to get the win for the Bruins. And it just seems like he had a Patrice Bergeron night. It seemed like the numbers were better for him throughout the night. He did have 2 goals tonight. That's my fault for jumping the gun there. He had a Bergeron type of night. He had 2 goals. He was all over the place, and he had a good night. That's why he gets my number 3 star. My number 2 star is Tuukka Rask. Tuukka's played very well tonight. Nothing you can do about that second goal against with Malkin taking the shot. That was a rifle. Pitucha makes 37 saves on 39 shots with a 9.49 save percentage. Tuukka Rask was good tonight. And I'm going to give my number one star, and then I'm going to rip my number one star. I'm going to give my number one star to Milan Lucic tonight. Milan Lucic had two assists. I guess he got one taken away. I thought he had three, but he does have two. Only gets the two assists, brings his total to 6, 14, and 20 on the season in 40 games, which means he's on in 40 games, which would put him on pace for about 40 points, which is nowhere near where he should be. But terrific night for Milan Lucic tonight. He was part of every goal. He was part of that power play goal, that goal by Chara in the first period, although the numbers are not, he did get the assist taken away from him, but he was part of every goal tonight, and that is what I want to go at. Milan Lucic had a very good night. He was dominant at times, and you could see it on that second goal by Bergeron. The first goal for Bergeron, the second goal of the game for the Bruins. He took the hit to make the play, put the puck in front of the net. I would say they got a little bit lucky by Fleury kind of poking it back in the slot, but he made his plays, and he goes out there. He has two assists. He's a plus three, which means he was on the ice for all four, all three goals. He had two shots on goal, which could have been better. He had four hits, he had a giveaway, which is bad, but, a block shot, a couple missed shots, but he was there. He had a good night. He had 19 minutes and 44 seconds of ice time. Milan Lucic had a great game tonight, but I'm sick of saying this once every 10 games. I looked at the stats this morning. The Boston Bruins played the Chicago Blackhawks on December the 11th. They have played 10 games in between. If everybody remembers, that was the game where Milan Lucic against Chicago, where he had this ridiculous play that led to the goal, and then led to a goal by Tory Krug, and then a fight for Chris Kelly. Lucic set up a great play, and Lucic was pretty dominant that game. Go on a 10-game stretch where it was like he didn't even exist, and he pops up again tonight and has three, and is a plus three, has two assists. This is why I got to rip him here. What are you doing? I'm sick of the once every 10 games. I mean, he was dominant tonight. You sit there and say, there have been trade rumors going around with him. You watch a game tonight and you say, why would there be trade rumors going around with him? Because he doesn't do this every night. If he did this every night, there would be no trade rumors. There would be no ripping him for his contract that he gets where he does nothing, basically, with it. Because he does this once every 10 games, or once every 5 games, or once every 6 games. It's so frustrating. Like, we see it right there. What he did tonight was what he got his contract for. I don't think he was worth $6 million, even at his best. I don't think at his best he is worth $6 million. That's a story for another time. But what he did tonight, he needs to do consistently. If he does that consistently, I'm telling you, the Bruins are going to win more games. I give him the number one star. He had a great game. Two assists. Was a plus three. Pretty much factored in all goals. And excuse me, he had 20 minutes and 57 seconds of time on ISA. Kind of jumped the gun. He had 19:44 even strength time. He had 154, right? 113 of shorthanded time. I kind of lost my track there. But he had a great night. But I have to give him the number one star. He played great. But at the same time, I have to rip him because it needs to be better. It needs to be more consistent. And that's exactly what I want to see out of him. But those are my three stars for the game. Again, the number to call into the show is 347-215-7771. Press 1 to speak to the host, which is myself. Again, 347-215-7771 to call in. Press 1 to speak to the host, which is myself, Kevin Maggiore. We're going to play a little bit of a song here for the bees tonight, because it's been long overdue.
DJ Kevin! Yeah. All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can never get enough. And every time I step up in the building, everybody hands go up. And they stay there, and they say yeah.
And they don't win all they do. They don't all, it's not, I'm just losing my words here. It's not all that they do is win, but they finally get the win tonight, and it's good to play that for them. I'm going to break down some events that happened during the game and my thoughts on those events. I want to go to the first period, the end of the first period or in the second period, I kind of lost track on it. But Louis Erickson didn't play a lot tonight. And I'll point this out quickly. Craig Cunningham got 4 minutes and 45 seconds of ice time tonight. Seth Griffiths got 5 minutes and 21 seconds of ice time tonight. Those guys barely saw the ice. One of them will definitely not play tomorrow. David Pasternak will play tomorrow night, they have said. Although, when I get to my Louis Erickson point, we may see both of them play because Louis Erickson may not play tomorrow night. I'll get to Louis Erickson here now. Louis Erickson finished with no goals, no assists, a minus one. He had 2 shots on goal and had 1 penalty for 2 penalty minutes on the night. Only got 11 minutes and 56 time on ice. But he missed a lot of time, and Pierre Maguire mentioned it. And Pierre Maguire mentioned it. And he didn't really see him. He was off the bench in the second, and he came out. He got a penalty in the third, and then you didn't really see him after that much. And it was pointed out by a Bruins. If you don't, you know, don't follow him on Twitter. Don't follow him on, you know, subscribe to him on YouTube. You should. Dafoomie, at Dafoomie. He posts a lot of highlights for the Bruins. Definitely the go-to place for the videos on the Bruins. And he posts a video of Robert Bertuzzo, a two-hand slash to the wrists of Louis Erickson. To the wrist, I should say, not wrists. Only one wrist he got hit there. But a two-hand slash to the wrist of Louis Erickson. And that's what made him miss the rest of the period. But what gets me here is, how does that go unnoticed? I mean, you're watching the game, right? The referees are watching the game. And I know slashing and in you know, jabbing and hooking and all this stuff happens during the game, and you can't go around it. But Louis Erickson misses a lot of time because of a two-handed slash to the hand, and now it could put him out for a little while if he doesn't you know, feel right. Could put him out. Could do broken wrist. You don't know what it could be. That's a situation that kind of aggravated me, where Louis Erickson goes out because of a two-hand slash. And you know, with the broadcasting crew we had tonight of Jock Emmerich, Eddie Olczyk, and Pierre Maguire, had a Bruin done that to somebody like Sidney Crosby or Evgeny Malkin. First of all, it was Crosby. Crosby's on my fantasy team. If somebody did that on the Bruins, I would totally not be happy with them and would go after them. I wouldn't go after them. But if it did happen to a guy like Crosby, or it happened to a guy like Malkin, or happened even to a guy like Letang, you know, there would be a big uproar, but there wasn't a big uproar because it was against the Bruins, and that really aggravates me. So we hope that Louis Erickson isn't hurt too bad and hope that he does come back soon enough. Obviously, he was hot for a little while and then tailed off a little bit, but at the same time, Louis Erickson is a contributor to this team coming into tonight's game, and you can include tonight's game. He has 9 goals and 16 assists for 25 points. And, you know, I'm a stats guy. I'm an on-track guy. Louis Erickson, he's now played 41 games, so he's on pace for 18 goals and 32 assists, which is for 50 points, which would put him near the top for the Bruins. Offensively, the top offensive performer for the Bruins this season is Patrice Bergeron. He has 10 goals and 20 assists for 30 points, would put him on pace for 20 goals, 40 assists, 60 points over an 82-game stretch. Those are a little bit off because he hasn't missed a game this season. Obviously, the leading goal scorer for the Bruins, Brad Marchand, in 38 games, has 11 goals and 12 assists for 23 points. And that's something I do want to hit on later on the show, is the Bruins' goal scoring. But that was one point I wanted to bring up, Louis Erickson taking the slash, and we hope that Louis is fine. Would like to see him on the ice tomorrow night. Would stink if he's not, but then again, you know, the lines have been shifting up, and maybe you still need a little bit of momentum to be changed to figure some things out on this roster. So that was one talking point that I wanted to bring up. And my next talking point that I wanted to bring up coming out of this game also involves Louis Erickson. And it is another penalty call that I think I'm going to keep complaining about the penalties tonight. And if I do, you know, that It does aggravate you. I don't typically blame the refs, but Louis Erickson comes back into the game. He gets a 2-minute for holding penalty on, I believe he held David Perron. But the referees got that all backwards because, yeah, Louis Erickson's stick was in there on Perron, but you can clearly see, I encourage you to go back and watch the highlight if you can find a highlight of it. David Perron sticks his hand out and basically wraps his hand around Louis Erickson's six hole, which is, you know, between the arm and the chest, in between the chicken wing, and kind of just holds on to Erickson, but Erickson goes off for holding some strange way. I don't understand that, and that kind of irked me the wrong way, and that's the thing that you can see that always typically goes against the Bruins. I don't like the way that was called. I think it was a cheap call by the referees, and that was another minor talking point that I wanted to bring up in that situation. So both involving Louis Erickson, who apparently was very big into the game, I guess you can say, tonight, despite not being on the score sheet and only getting 11 minutes of time on ice, but definitely something to look forward to, and I think the Penguins do definitely get away with stuff. For those that don't know me, the Pittsburgh Penguins are one of the teams that I follow religiously. I do like the Pittsburgh Penguins. I do like Sidney Crosby, although I will be the first to admit that he is a crybaby. I will be the first to admit that, and I do have a recording of Sidney Crosby after the game today. Yes, those were Sidney Crosby's post-game comments after the Penguins were dealt a loss to the Boston Bruins. The final score, again, 3-2. The number to call into the show is 347-215-7771. Again, the number to call into the show is 347-215-7771. Press 1 to speak to the host. And you know who the host is. The host is myself, Kevin Maggiore. Going to move on. We're going to switch a little bit of gears here. We're going to move into my talk on Tuukka Rask, who I think has been a little bit, I think he's been under the gun too much this season for what he should be doing, for the amount of times that he should be under the gun. He comes out tonight, faces the Pittsburgh Penguins, makes 37 saves on 37 shots. 37 saves on 39 shots. I can tell I'm all over the place right now. 37 saves on 39 shots. Tuukka Rask, at times this season, has looked bad. I'll tell you that, at times he has looked bad. But, like tonight, he comes out against undoubtedly one of the top offensive teams in the league. And he stands on his head. He's asked to stand on his head, and he stands on his head, and he does a heck of a job doing it. You know, Tuukka Rask and some people talk about all the I don't like the contract. I like the term. I like the 7 years. I don't like the money at $7 million. I've never liked the money at $7 million. But you know, coming into tonight's game, he had a 15-10-6 record with a 2.54 goals against average and a .911 save percentage. Yeah, I mean, those are not the numbers of a $7 million goalie. But at the same time, at times this year, he has been left out to dry, like tonight. And there are times when he's going to let up a goal, but there are times like tonight where he has a very good game and shuts the door on the Penguins. So he obviously lowers the goals against average, heightens the save percentage, obviously improves to 16-10-6. And I just want people to still know that Tuukka Rask is still an elite goaltender in this league. You know, I know he's not performing maybe to where you want him to perform, but he still is. He's a top goaltender in this league, and when Tuukka Rask finds that groove, he's going to be in that groove for a little bit. And I'll tell you, people are going to be excited about him again because he still has the talent. I mean, you can look at some of the goalies that get paid more than him. Pekka Rinne gets very similar to him, and Rinne's got a 2 goals against average and a .929 save percentage. He's been playing out of his head this year. You know, you can't really compare him to that, but you know, you look at a guy like Henrik Lundqvist. Lundqvist gets paid more than him. 2.35 goals against average, .914 save percentage. Jonathan Quick gets paid the same, I believe. 2.35 goals against average, .917 save percentage. They're right in his area. You know, it's not like he's having a terrible year. He's been a little bit down, but you can't be too far down on him because he's still a very good goaltender, and tonight he showed why he's still a very good goaltender. I don't think he'll get the crease tomorrow night against the New Jersey Devils. He really, you know, I mean, he needs his rest. The Bruins do need the wins, but at the same time, Nicholas Svedberg does need to step up and prove it a little bit, and then I think this is, Svedberg's got to really has to really prove that he can play in the National Hockey League, because there is a goaltender with a elite talent in PK Subban down in Providence, who could come right up and replace him next year. I think Svedberg's really got to compete for his job, and that's exactly what you need to see out of him going forward. So I think you're going to see him get his chance and hopefully succeed and provide Tuukka Rask with the backup that he needs. And you get two goalies rolling on hopefully good levels there. And we'll see how it turns out. But I think I want to get back to my point of how I said Tuukka Rask has played really well tonight. At times has played really well this season, has kept his team in it and is doing a very good job at it. And I hope everybody still realizes that Tuukka Rask is in long term. He's an elite goaltender and he's going to struggle and he's not going to have the perfect years. I mean, hey, Tim Thomas won his first Vezina in 2009. 2010, yes, he was hampered by a hip injury, but his numbers went down. You know, he came back in 2011 fully healthy, but numbers are going to go down. Guys aren't going to – they're not going to be the best goaltender every year. There's going to be times where they have off stretches. And you know what? You see it happen, and you got to move on from it. You got to let it happen. He'll regain it. We know how good he is. We know the talent that he possesses because we've seen it. He's won a Vezina Trophy. He's led the league save percentage and goals against average a couple times in his career. He's at least it's been at the top. I believe it was 2010, the same year that Thomas got hurt. That he led the league in goals against average and save percentage. I believe save percentage might have been a little lower, but he's right there. He's a very good goaltender. The Bruins have a great guy in him, and tonight Tuukka Rask showed why he is still an elite goaltender in this league. And people shouldn't be so jumped quick to the gun to be saying that he's not worth the contract and they should trade him for, a guy that can score goals. So that was my point on Tuukka Rask. I just wanted to make that known before I divulge deeper here into it. But again, if I want you to call into the show, 347-215-7771. Again, the number to call into the show is 347-215-7771. Press 1 to speak to the host. I am your host, Kevin Maggiore, on this one. Bruins, like I said, Bruins get a 3-2 win over the Pittsburgh Penguins at the Consol Energy Center with the Bruins. Not that it's been a house of horrors for the Bruins. You did have the two playoff wins back in 2013, but they haven't had the most success in the Consol Energy Center throughout the short history of the Consol Energy Center. It's still a very new, very young stadium, arena, whatever you want to call it. But the Bruins were able to come out victorious tonight. Moving on, we're going to go a little bit further here. We're going to move into tomorrow night's action. As I quickly want to wrap up, we'll move into tomorrow night's action and a preview of tomorrow night and what's to come. But I would like to wrap up quickly, finish my final thoughts on tonight's game. Again, Bruins win by a score of 3-2 in a shootout. That was their fourth consecutive overtime or shootout game. It started back on Wednesday, December the 31st, with a 4-3 shootout loss to Toronto. Moved into Saturday, January 3rd, with a 3-2 overtime loss to Ottawa. And Sunday, January 4th, with a 2-1 shootout loss to the Carolina Hurricanes. And they come out and win 3-2 in overtime against the Pittsburgh Penguins. Kind of recapping it here, in the first period, the Penguins struck 3:37 in. Bo Bennett with a goal assisted by Evgeny Malkin and Simon Desprez. 17:57 until the first, Daniel Chara gives the Bruins a tie game with his third of the season, assists to Riley Smith and David Krejci. Second period, Patrice Bergeron scores 15:37 into the period, his ninth of the season, assists to Daniel Paille and Milan Lucic. In the third, Evgeny Malkin on a beautiful goal just 14 seconds into the period with his 18th of the season, assist goes to Christian Ehrhoff. Fantasy points for me. I didn't realize that right there. And we move into overtime. Patrice Bergeron, 2:43 in overtime, his 10th of the season. Milan Lucic and Torrey Krug with the assists on that one. Penalties tonight, first period. Kevin Miller got 2 minutes for high sticking. Paul Martin got 2 minutes for tripping. In the second period, Bergeron got 2 minutes for hooking, and Brad Marchand got 2 minutes for high sticking. Christian Ehrhoff also got 2 minutes for holding. And in the third, Louis Eriksson got 2 minutes for holding. Before missing most of the rest of the game there. So that is your recap of the Bruins game tonight. Bo Bennett had his second goal of the season. Zdeno Chara had his third goal of the season. Bergeron had his ninth and tenth. And like I mentioned, Malkin with his 18th of the season. Moving to stat-wise, like I said, Bergeron has 9 to 10th goals. Chara had his third goal of the season. David Krejci had an assist, which improved his totals to 5, 11, and 16 in 21 games. Torrey Krug improved his totals to 8 and 9 for 17 in 36 games. Milan Lucic, like I mentioned earlier, had two assists, make it 6 and 14 for 20 in 40 games. Daniel Payet had his 7th assist of the season. He has now has 1 goal, 7 assists, 8 points in 40 games. And Riley Smith picked up his 12th assist of the season. He now has 9 goals, 12 assists, 21 points in 40 games. Bruins get the 3-2 victory over the Pittsburgh Penguins, a much-needed victory. And we'll play it one more time for the Bruins, just because they need
it. DJ Chavez! Yeah!
All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can never get enough. And every time I step up in the building, everybody hands go up. And they stay there, and they stay there.
And the Bruins, all they do is win, 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 no matter what. No, they don't always win, because prior to this game, they had lost, if I remember correctly, 3 consecutive games. Since the New Year, I want to say New Year, like I said, since the Christmas break, they are, you want to look at it perfectly, they're 2-1-3. They've lost 3 overtime or shootout games, but they are 2-4 win-loss-wise. Tuukka Rask has started every game since December the 29th. He has pitched 5 straight, so I think Svedberg will get the call against New Jersey before the Bruins head out to face Philadelphia on Saturday. And then, you know, this is something that I want to talk about before I move into tomorrow night. The scheduling this year for the Bruins has been absolutely horrid. And I know Pittsburgh and Philadelphia are on, like, other sides of Pennsylvania. It's, like, four hours away a drive or something. But, seriously, they play in Pittsburgh tonight. Now they must fly home and play New Jersey before they sleep and fly out to play Philadelphia. What's the need of putting them in Pennsylvania, having them fly home and flying back to Pennsylvania? What is the reasoning behind that? What the hell is the reasoning behind a game in Pennsylvania, a game home in... Why not just switch it? New Jersey tonight, Pittsburgh on Thursday, and then Philly on Saturday. I don't understand. I just, personally, I'm not a big fan of the scheduling this year. This situation right here, where they have to fly home from Pennsylvania, just to fly back to Pennsylvania 2 days later. Go back to it. The Bruins, they play Detroit on Wednesday. We go way back to the beginning of the season. They play Detroit Red Wings on Wednesday, October the 15th. They have to travel and play Montreal on October the 16th, while Montreal did not have to travel, did not have to play the night before. Again, the next time they play Montreal, the Bruins play Montreal on November the 12th, a Wednesday. Then they have to travel to Montreal to play on November the 13th. Did Montreal play on the Wednesday night? No. Did Montreal have to travel? No. Then you bring it to later on, a few weeks later, the Bruins play in Columbus on November the 21st. Now they have to travel home to play the Montreal Canadiens on the Saturday. So the back-to-back again, the third back-to-back. Do the Montreal Canadiens have to play on Friday? No. Did they have to travel on Friday? They traveled Friday morning, but then they were fine for Friday night. Scheduling there stinks. The Bruins have to play Montreal 4 times a season. The final time they play Montreal this season, they play on Saturday. The Bruins play them on Sunday, February 8th. The Bruins have to play the New York Islanders on Saturday, February 7th. There is no travel involved, but they have to play a back-to-back. Montreal does play a back-to-back as well, but at the same time, back-to-backs against your biggest rival all 4 times? Scheduling there is terrible. Moving to March, the Bruins have to play every Saturday and Sunday in the month of March. They play March 7th and March 8th. They play March 14th and March 15th. They play March 21st and March 22nd. They play March 28th and March 29th. There are... So they don't play every Saturday and Sunday because they miss March 1st or whatever. Whatever the heck it is. But seriously, the scheduling this year for the Bruins has been absolutely horrid. And I do not like the scheduling, the way it was made. You can't really blame a computer, but at the same time, don't they have guys out there to do something, you know, to check it and make sure everybody's kind of on the same page and having an even-keel schedule? that's my little rant on the schedule. I don't think the Bruins got the nicest of scheduling this year by the people of the National Hockey League, but you can only do so much about it. But let's go circle back here. Moving forward, the Bruins play the New Jersey Devils on Thursday, January 8th at the TD Garden. Puck drop there at 7 o'clock. Then they will travel to Philadelphia for January 10th. That is in the Wells Fargo Center in Philadelphia. And then they go come home to play a three-game homestand where they play the Tampa Bay Lightning on the January the 13th, and they play the New York Rangers on January the 15th, and they play the Columbus Blue Jackets on January the 17th before traveling to Dallas to play the Dallas Stars on January the 20th, and they will travel to Colorado to play the Colorado Avalanche on January the 21st, and then they have the All-Star break, which will give them 7 days off, the 22nd, 23rd, 24th, 25th, 26th, 27th, 28th. They have 7 days off before they play the New York Islanders, and then they play round of the month of January with a home game against the Los Angeles Kings. So schedule not easy coming up. The next two games are winnable. They beat New Jersey, and they can beat New Jersey. They can beat Philadelphia. Tampa Bay obviously going to be a tough one. New York Rangers will be tough as well. Columbus will be tough. Dallas, they have the leading goal scorer in the league, so that will be tough. I wonder who that guy is. And they play Colorado, a team they've already lost to. The Islanders, top of the league. This season toward the top of the league in points, and then the reigning Stanley Cup champion. So the schedule is not easy coming up for the Bruins. But we will move into tomorrow night's action. If you want to call in about anything I've talked about today, Bruins game, Bruins, obviously I've only talked Bruins, the game today, upcoming games, the scheduling and how bad it is. Anything you want to talk about, call into the show is 347-215-7771. Press 1 to speak to the host, that is myself. Again, the number is 347-215-7771. Press 1 to speak to the host. That is myself, and I think we have a call coming in. I think it's Sidney Crosby. What do you think? That was Sidney Crosby calling into the show, or it could be myself, or just the way I look about complaining about pretty much anything that could be complained about on here. But, you know, as we move forward, the Bruins do have a winnable game tomorrow night against the New Jersey Devils. And it is, now this is a back-to-back, and then I do look at it here. The Bruins in back-to-backs this season, let's do the math here, 0-1, 0-2, 0-3, 4, 0-5, 1-5, 1-6. So the Bruins have played 7 back-to-backs this season, and they have won just one of them. That was a 3-2 overtime victory against the Minnesota Wild on December the 17th. They are actually 1-5-1 if you want to do the technical thing with the overtime loss coming to Carolina, the shootout loss coming to Carolina. I want to quickly hit on that in a couple minutes. I was at that game. Would like to share my experience with everyone that was down in Carolina. But it's going to be tough. Like, they're 1-5-1 in 7 back-to-backs this year, the second end of back-to-backs. They've taken 3 out of a possible 14 points, which is very dismal, very, very dismal. So it'll be interesting to see how they do tomorrow night. Again, they do have to travel where the New Jersey Devils probably practiced this morning in New Jersey and flew up to Boston. They probably rested in their hotel, watched the Bruins play, and will be chomping at the bit to get at them tomorrow night. I will be in attendance for that game. Interesting to see how they play. Like I said, we'll see Nicholas Svedberg probably, and there's another interesting name that we will see. David Pastrnak will most likely be in the lineup tomorrow. He still has 4 games left on his 9-game trial in the National Hockey League before the Bruins have to officially announce what they want to do with him, whether they want to keep him with the club and keep him up in the NHL, maybe in the AHL, or if they want to send him back to his team in the Swedish Elite League. It'll be interesting to see what he can bring to the table. Pastrnak just got out of the World Junior Championships. He had a very good World Junior Championships. I don't remember his exact numbers. I'm going to try and pull them up as I speak on him, but it's going to be good to see what Pastrnak can bring from the team to the team. He only had one assist in his first five games with the team this season, but it seemed like he was always creating offense. It seemed like everything he was doing, he was creating offense. So it was interesting and exciting to see him do the work and start to put some plays to the net. And it was fun. It was fun, exciting to watch him play, and it'll be good to see him play tomorrow night, and hopefully see him play tomorrow night before the Bruins make a final decision. Maybe he's not going to provide the offense that the Bruins need. He's not going to provide everything that the Bruins need, but he's going to provide some offense, and it would be good to see him play with David Krejci. If I remember correctly, he did not play with Krejci. I think Krejci was out the whole time, or at least most of the time that he was with the team. And, you know, obviously, they're both Czechs. Pasternak praised Krejci when he was drafted, said he loved David Krejci, and it was going to be exciting to play alongside David Krejci. So it'll be definitely be pretty cool to see what he can do with David Krejci. There's belief that he will be playing on David Krejci's line. You know, there obviously will be some line changes tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen. But you have to look at it in what does he bring to the table? What could he bring to the table? Obviously, he's offensively. He likes to shoot the puck. He can shoot a lot. And we want to see that out of him. We want to see him shoot. We want to see him score. We want to see him help this team. He had a couple of very good games, a couple of very, very good games with the Czech Republic in the World Junior Championships. If I pull up his numbers correctly, David Pasternak in five games had one goal and six assists for 7 points. He had one game-winning goal, which was in overtime, which if you haven't seen that, it was a beauty, so I would recommend you to go look at that. So 7 points in five games, and I think six of those came in the last two games, so he did get off to a bit of a slow start, but he led the Czech national team, and the closest, it was a bunch of guys tied with three, and he had seven, so he was obviously the best player on his team, the best offensive player on his team. He did not lead the whole scoring because, you know, obviously his team didn't play as many games as some of the teams in the tournament, like Canada and like Russia and Slovakia, which congratulations to Slovakia on getting the bronze medal there. It was very good to see them win that. Sam Reinhart led the tournament. Sam Reinhart and Nicholas Baton and Connor McDavid, they all had 11 points. They led the tournament. Max Domi had 10 for Canada. William Nylander had 10. So Pasternak obviously behind some of the big guns, like McDavid, who's supposed to go number one in the draft, Max Domi, who's supposed to be quite a talent in this league, who should be quite a talent in this league. But exciting to see what David Pasternak is going to be able to bring to the show, to the big time, to the Bees, and if he can help his team and maybe stick with them. He has I believe he has four more games remaining on his trial before the Bruins have to officially decide what they want to do with him. And obviously that's a number. 86 is the number he wears. Keep an eye out for him tomorrow. I believe the 86 is the number he wears. Keep an eye out for him tomorrow night as he returns to the Bruins. Should return to the Bruins tomorrow night. We don't know if he's officially going to play, but he most likely will play. Before I round things out here, we're still kind of close on time. We still have a good amount of time left, but kind of running out of things to talk about here. Before I do, let me give you one last shout out. 347-215-7771 is the number to call into the show. Again, 347-215-7771 is the number to call into the show. Press 1 to speak to the host. That's myself. If you do want to tweet at me, I am at @CLNS_Kevin. Tweet me with your thoughts of the game. Bruins, like I said, they win this one 3-2. We kind of go in and we talk about the Bruins winning there. Getting the win they finally need, and what they have to do going forward in order to win these games. Bruins, yeah, we'll see what happens going forward, like I said. But I want to do round up the show here. I did have a recent trip down to Carolina. See, the Bruins play the Carolina Hurricanes, and I didn't get the result that I wanted. I obviously wanted the win, but I didn't get the win, like I said. But It was an interesting experience. It was a lot of Bruins fans there. The Bruins were definitely represented well, and it was upsetting to see them not show up, but obviously a different setting. There was a lot of more bandwagon type fans you see down in Carolina. Not many people know what's going on a lot. It's a lot different. It's less, you know, it's more even keel, you know, more laid back, a little bit less stuff going on. The fans aren't as rowdy as everybody else was or would be in Boston. So it was definitely an interesting experience. I definitely would recommend you to go down. Just watch the game in the RBC Center. You're not going to be alone at PNC Arena. Excuse me. You're not going to be alone. There's going to be a lot of Bruins fans down there with you. We represented probably about 40% of the crowd. It was probably about 60-40 Carolina to Boston, maybe a little bit under. But it was definitely a fun experience. And then if you're ever interested in maybe a quick weekend trip, if the Bees are in town down in Carolina, it's definitely a place you definitely should look at going to, because it's fun. It's interesting to watch. And, hey, you get to watch your Bees somewhere else. Maybe they give you a better result than what I got, because my result wasn't the result I was looking for. But it was definitely fun to watch. They got the loss, but it was great to see them play. And I'm looking forward to my next trip, wherever it may be. Quickly, before I cut us off here, let's quickly round out the end of this one. Boston Bruins win 3-2 against the Pittsburgh Penguins in overtime. Like I had mentioned, Patrice Bergeron gets two goals. He has his ninth and tenth of the season. Zdeno Chara also scores. Tuukka Rask has a very good night, makes 37 saves on 39 shots. 9.49 save percentage for the game. The Bruins come out victorious 3-2. They get the 2 points they need. We'll quickly run through the standing before I cut you off on this one. Boston Bruins now fourth in the division. They have one game in hand, and they are 10 points back of Tampa Bay. So if they are to win that game in hand on Tampa Bay, they would be technically four games behind Tampa Bay. But Tampa Bay in first place at 26-12-4, 56 points. Montreal in second with 54 points. Detroit in third with 51 points, and the Bruins right there in fourth with 46 points. Toronto in fifth with 45 points. Florida is in sixth with 43 points. Ottawa in seventh with 40 points. And Buffalo rounds out the division with 31 points. Pittsburgh leads the Metropolitan with 54. They're trailed by the Islanders with 53. Washington with 49, and the Rangers with 46. Columbus is on the door knocking with 39 points. Out west, Nashville and Chicago. Nashville, Chicago, and St. Louis, the top three in the Western Conference, 56, 51, 50, 54, 51, respectively. For those in Anaheim, already running away with their division, they have 58 points, 49 and 49 for San Jose and Vancouver, respectively, and Los Angeles rounding out their top four over there with 47. Before we end this one, the Bruins, again, they win 3-2 against the Pittsburgh Penguins in overtime. Patrice Bergeron with a bit of a controversial goal, but it does end the right way for the Bees. They get the win. They move on to the New Jersey Devils tomorrow night. I want to thank you for listening to the Bruins post-game show tonight. We hope to see you next time. And as always, go Bees. Enjoy it, Bees fans. Hopefully we see it again tomorrow. And hopefully it's the start of a couple wins. Start piling up, making trades.